Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another episode, episode 21 of Destruction 101 Podcast, brought to you exclusively by the Shining Wizards Network. And you can find me on iTunes, you can find me on Stitcher, Audio Boom, all sorts of formats, WrestlePROOnline.com. You can find me there. You can also find in my voice that I'm exhausted. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but I'm very tired today. And I usually do my recordings after the workout. And I decided not to do that today. And I'm going to try to work out afterwards, which might be a little bit of a different. We'll find out. But lots to talk about today. A lot of crazy cool things that happened in pro wrestling over the weekend. Obviously, I'm a part of a lot of it. So first and foremost, plugs. And that would have to start with, obviously, WrestlePro June 10th. Or actually, you know what? We'll start off with BBWF that was rescheduled. They're on June 2nd at the Sheraton in Edison, New Jersey. I'll be on commentary alongside Pete Rosato, hopefully. I know Fridays are tough for him. He's coming from the city. So that might be a little difficult trying to get down there because traffic is just murder. And with the summer coming, it's just getting worse. So hopefully he'll be there. If not, I'll be solo. No big deal. I've done it before. So BBWF next Friday. No, two Fridays from now, June 2nd, 8 o'clock bell time. That starts off those shenanigans. Then June 10th, the big show for June is for WrestlePro. And we are in Keyport, New Jersey. Ace's building. Coach D found this place last year. If you remember this location, I was not there. I was busy with real life stuff. So this was the location where Pat Buck jumped off the top of the cage and landed on top of Jeff Jarrett and Global Force and all that cool shit. So same building, Keyport, New Jersey. That is June 10th. Doors at 5:30, bell time 7:30. I can't express how happy that makes me because the show this past Saturday got done at 10:40. Cody, obviously, we'll talk about that in a second, but Cody talked for a little while, so obviously we couldn't start cleanup till around 11. But the show, the meet and greet earlier and everything just earlier set the tone for the entire night, and it was just totally just an amazing card top to bottom mapped out by Kevin Matthews. He's head of creative, and if you didn't know that by now, then oh boy, did I just expose that. But so Kevin's been doing a lot of the booking for WrestlePro and storylines and shit like that. So hopefully you're enjoying everything. I know I am. Where was I going with that? Oh yeah, so there's the plugs. I guess first and foremost, my heart goes out to, you know, my prayers and thoughts for the people in the United Kingdom right now. We live in a sick fucking world, man. And it's really, really defeating. You know, every week I'm out here, you know, on a podcast or even in all my social medias or when I interact with my own friends and family, trying to preach positivity. And it's very easy to follow. It's very easy to get lost in the shuffle, too. This is just some coward shit. When it's suicide bombings and stuff like that, like, there's nothing much more, like, just coward-like than doing something like this. And you know, obviously, my heart and thoughts go out to them. And it was during a concert, for crying out loud. Like, this, you know, you go to a concert. Like, I was just talking the other day, and I'm thinking, like, all right, this happened at a concert. You went to enjoy yourself and listen to Ariana Grande or whatever, if that's your flavor, you know. But you went to enjoy yourself. And now, like, like rewind a week ago when people were just going to New York City to enjoy themselves, you know, to walk through Times Square. I walked through Times Square every day when I worked at Sirius. Every day I would walk through Times Square because I just like I get a kick out of all the Spider-Mans and the Mickey Mouses and the Pokemons and all this other shit. They would try to hustle you for a couple bucks for a picture, you know. Like, and now you got a madman with, you know, again with the air quotes, like mental issues or whatever. Like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm not an advocate on that. I'm not an expert. But I also, like, I get it. People have demons. People are harsh on themselves. And then they think that, like, that's the only answer. And believe me when I say this, it's not. Because if anybody's had demons in his past before, I'm one of them. And I've had to overcome a lot of shit. But never in my wildest dreams, or nightmares for that matter, would I ever come out of left field and say, you know what? The only thing that's going to fix this is if I kill somebody. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, I don't know. That's the farthest thing, unless you're doing wrong by me, my family, my loved ones, my best friends, like, I have no reason to be mad, that mad. If you're a girl and you piss me off, you know, like, back in my dating days or whatever, like, if you piss me off, like, would I ever think to, like, oh, you know what, somebody's got to die for this? Like, no, man. If anything, you would you would just wish that the girl would fall off the face of the earth, you know? And, like, you don't have any control over that. So, like, it's just a world we live in now. And it's funny because, not funny, but Jeff Berga of the High Spot Podcast, who was a great sponsor for this past week. But anyway, he said something. He said, the last day in our generation of normalcy was September 10th, 2001. And that was before, obviously, the next day was 9/11. September 10th happens to be my birthday. And, you know, I will always remember my birthday being, obviously, for anybody who likes their birthday. You know, my brother doesn't like his birthday. I love my birthday. For anybody's birthday, like, you're excited, you're enjoying yourself, you're having a good time, and then the next day you wake up and it's like, ugh, you know, this day's gonna stink. You know, little did I know that the world would change as we know it, and it really has. It's very upsetting, very defeating. You know, I truly can't picture or fathom what some of these people go through. But again, it's the world we live in, and I don't know if it's going to take a president like Trump or anything like that, like some brass balls kind of guy. They're just like, you know what? We're going to put the pedal to the metal and stop this terrorism shit. Because I just don't think there's any stopping this mentality and these people that believe in certain shit. There's radical people out there. And unfortunately, like, no matter what it is, I don't care who the president is. You know, even if it is The Rock in 2020, where he's like just this brute fucking American, where he's just like, I'm the man, you know, I'm the guy now. I don't think it's going to take something like that. If it's not going to take Trump, who's just, for crying out loud, please just take away his Twitter. Like, and I've said that on social media, like, please. Like, he just talks shit. It's like that kid in high school that just talks shit about everybody until he gets punched right in the fucking face. You know, like, it's very unnecessary what he does. I'll call it how I see it. Like, I voted for the guy, you know. I voted for him in almost an anti-Hillary protest, but at the same time, I believed in some of his things, and I even believed in some of Hillary's things. Like, it's very hard to vote for a president. I don't care. Maybe that's why I didn't do it until Obama's second term. I never voted, and I had the opportunity to vote for his first term and even the term before that. So I had the opportunity. I just never did it because I felt like no matter what we do, there's always going to be assholes in this world. Like, no matter what we do, voting presidents and passing laws and shit like that, like, I don't think it matters anymore. I think that there's gonna be pricks out there forever, no matter who's in charge. So I you know, off on a tangent there, my thoughts and prayers obviously to the United Kingdom, to the people in New York who suffered injuries, to the beautiful girl that lost her life visiting the fucking city. Like that's the kind of stuff that makes you, it really makes you crazy, because it's just not fair. You know, she did nothing to deserve that. She went to New York just like anybody else would go to New York, sightsee and see all the sights and sounds and smells and you know, some good smells, some bad smells, you know, but like, that's not fair, man. You know, 18 years old, dude, 18 years old. And if that's not a wake-up call for you to start enjoying your life and really embracing everything that if you believe in God, you know, like, everything that he throws at you, you got to really start embracing it and accepting it, because it's just not, life is way too short and way, way too fragile to you know, to take it anything less than 100% serious every day. You know, I was a big, and this is like going back just a couple episodes, but I was big on risk taking. I don't think they're all worth it. I took a couple risks over the last couple, you know, months, I guess, and some of them didn't pan out the way I thought they would, but I did it anyway, you know, just to see, just to kind of give myself a, you never know, you know, like, so I just feel like I'm doing everything in my power right now to live every day like it's literally the last on this planet, you know, like, because you truly don't know when your number's going to get called. I mean, this girl was 18. Those victims over there in the United Kingdom were kids. They don't know when they're going to get called. They're not even educated enough to know that there is life and death before they can even just blink their eyes and it's over. You know, so like it's just really, really start embracing life. And I'm not trying to be Tony Robbins or anything like that, but just, you know, go out and have a good time. Just obviously responsibly. You don't want to put yourself in any danger or anybody that you love in danger, but just enjoy the shit out of life, man. It's we get one. We go around once and it's tragic to see some of the shit that goes down on an everyday basis. I mean, this is why, and Ryback says it a lot, but I've been saying it for years. I don't watch the news. I can't do it, especially since 9/11. You can't watch the news because it's always something. It's always something. And I'm trying to live a positive lifestyle. It's very hard to do that when people are just fucking bombing people and murdering people and just setting things on fire and just beating dogs. And like, it's just disgusting. Just be better at being a human. If you're going to set any goals for yourself today, to be like, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to be a better human. That's all. Like, it's not that hard. It really isn't. Anyway, this past weekend was phenomenal. And it was from top to bottom. Starting on Friday, you know, me and Buster Jackson and a couple other guys went down to the rec center where, while House of Hardcore was going on in St. James, New York, a bunch of us were at the rec center to set up a night before. There's nothing better than that because obviously it cuts down on the setup the next day. It's draining. Like, you're trying to, and a lot of people showed up, and I give kudos to that, but like, if you're going to show up, it's not a hangout. Like, I'm all business all the time when it comes to like being in the WrestlePro doors. I will joke with all my boys at all times, and it's great, and I have a great time doing so. However, you know, we're trying to get shit done, and I was losing my mind, and I fucking almost grabbed Little Hash by the fucking throat, and I apologized afterwards. I was like ready to kill somebody, because sometimes when things aren't going right, you know, not for nothing, this is a recreation center, so it's not like it's an arena with a built-in scoreboard on top of the, or that light. You see that light, it looks fantastic. You know how hard that thing is to lift and jimmy rig it and just make sure it's like just hanging and won't fall on somebody? You know, that thing broke and snapped on us on Friday night. So that's another thing we had to do. So it was just one of those things where it was getting very frustrating. But I knew deep down that it was going to be so worth it, because Saturday came. I woke up early. I was pumped. I was ready to rock by like 8 a.m. and call time wasn't until 1. You know, it was just one of those days where it was going to be top to bottom, just fantastic. So we all get there around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you know, there's other things we have to set up because the ring truck had some of the stuff taken to St. James the night before. So a couple guys got on the show the night before. Pat was on it. Kevin was on it. I don't know if the bodies were with me. There was a couple guys that got a shot in House of Hardcore, and that's a conversation I want to have with Tommy Dreamer to, you know, try to get my name out there with Dreamer. So his House of Hardcore always draws a massive, massive crowd. So, you know, congrats on the success to that. So, yeah, Saturday comes. You know, we start filing in. I think the first two people there were me and Craig, the big deal. And, you know, we chilled there, waited for people to file in. And then it's off to the races. You know, you gotta get shit done. It's not like show up and hope for the best for the show. Like, you have to show up. You have to set up. You have to get dressed. You have to just do shit. It was my first, and this was obviously, you know, it's my podcast. I'll talk about a couple things personally. Obviously I was there to be for the first time in the Rahway Rec Center as not only the commentator with Eddie, but the ring announcer. So I'm now the guy that needs to make all the announcements pre-show. You know, I don't want to take any more stabs at the former people, but it's good and refreshing to hear some top-notch personalities telling me that I'm better and I'm good and they can hear me. And like, it was just very refreshing. So thank you to those, and they know who they are. And look, you either got it or you don't. You know, if you want to swallow mic and talk like this, you know, and like nobody can understand you, that's on you. You know, and you've been taught and corrected and preached to about changing your ways. And if you didn't want to change it, don't change it. That's fine. Now you are out of that job, and that's whatever. So I embraced it. I teamed up with Rin, otherwise known as Beatrice the Barbie Killer. I teamed up with a couple out of the girls from Creator Pro New York to do a raffle. I promoted, you know, the Beach Bums, and I met one of the Beach Bums' godmothers, who is a vice principal to school, who was asking me, you know, about a possible fundraiser, which we've been doing. We've been doing fundraisers and sold shows and shit like that. And she was like, is there going to be a lot of cursing? And I'm like, not at all. No, no. And I told her a million times, like, we cater to you. So if it's at a high school and that's their one big bugaboo, is like, we can't have you dropping F-bombs and shit. And it's like, okay, fine, we won't. And that's it. We cater to the customer. So I told her, I was like, no, it's fine. There's not going to be any cursing. And then fucking Kevin Matthews comes out there and calls Dirty and Durable a pussy, like, fucking 8 times, like, in a row. And I was like, commentary, I'm like, this is getting really uncomfortable. But it's because I knew she was in the crowd, so I'm like trying to figure out, like, I wonder if she's watching this part. But anyway, did a lot of pre-show stuff, came out to my entrance song, and which I ran by Pat, and I said, look, you know, the last couple entrance songs have, he doesn't want us to use anymore. So he's like, so what do we got? And I'm like, mine, my old entrance. And Eddie told him that he made a Tron, like the flashing logo, and then my old Tron comes up, which me and Eddie take pride in, considering it's never been touched. It's never been, that was my first Tron ever used. And meanwhile, while everybody's getting to update their shit and do different graphics and different matches, mine never changed. So it's like very young Dave Destruction in action. Maybe it was like second or third match, and it was just, it's a train wreck, but it, you know, didn't matter because it's my song and Killswitch is my band, and you know, it's always a tribute to my friend John Downey, who passed away. Now it's coming up on 10 years. He was a big Killswitch fan, and I always felt like that the name of the song and overall is a good feel. It's like the end of heartache. You know what I mean? Like, it's over. No more heartache. So that plays. I come out on stage. I kind of give myself a moment to take it all in, and I'm telling you, the cheers were like deafening, and I cannot thank everybody in the Rahway Rec Center enough, because that was a feeling that I'll never forget. And I was worried. I was very worried. I was pacing around all day wondering, like, if I get booed, it's going to start to show shitty, you know, like if people are going to boo and protest or whatever they were going to claim they were going to do. I was worried. I was like, fuck, man, they're never going to let me make an entrance again if this doesn't pan out. So I came out, the cheers, I got into the ring, I kind of just gave my, not so much a Hulk Hogan, but like kind of like told the fans I can't hear them, and then I heard like the chant of You Are Better, and I was just like, I was floored. I was like, this is awesome. But overall, you know, I got to do, I was more settled in today, that day that I was than Starland Ballroom. It sounded better. I was very confident in my ability to announce certain people. I shared one the other day of my introduction to Dan Moff, and I felt very Bruce Bufferish, just very like into it and just, but articulate at the same time, where you can understand what the hell I'm talking about and who I'm talking about and introducing people. But yeah, so top to bottom, from the first match, which is Bobby Fish and Fala Ba, to you know, the second match, which was, I believe it was Colt and Alex Reynolds. Me and Eddie killed it again on commentary. I can't say it enough. We're really getting, we're hitting a stride right now, and we're really getting a lot of buzz, and we'll get into that in a minute. But as you know, as the night goes on, the matches are going. At one point, I didn't know if the trios match was for the trios championship, and I did not announce it as such. But when when I kind of whispered to Eddie, I'm like, is this for the championship? Like on commentary, off mic, he's like, yeah, it's for the trios medallions, and I'm like, shit, I didn't announce that. So here I am, like announcing it. But the Beach Bums had won, and they're the new champs. So now I'm like, and new, you know, and I'm like, I don't know if anybody knew that was even for the medallions, but it was, and they celebrated, and it was awesome. We also saw two new tag champions, Habib and CPA, who, you know, I promised CPA would make a certain call if he won. I tend not to, and this is broadcasting 101 for me, but I tend not to know and want to know the results of the match, so more things could be authentic, and I've told a couple people this, and that's just a strategy. I don't like knowing who's going to win. I like being surprised. But so I was surprised when CPA and Habib won, and you know, I wanted to say, you know, CPA's or Mrs. CPA's baby boy or whatever, something along the lines of Mick Foley, but I was too caught up in the moment, and then I had to announce him and new tag team champion, so that was pretty surreal. Got to see Moose again. The guy gets bigger every time. He's just a beast. It was kind of cool to see the opening spot between Moose and Kevin. Those guys moving around like little cruiserweights, and Kevin had shared that. We retweeted it on the Twitter of WrestlePro. By the way, WrestlePro, I am now ahead or kind of tag teaming it up with CPA, but I'll be more active on Twitter. So go follow us on Twitter at WrestlePro. I will retweet all your stuff and try to get your shit over just like I do for Facebook. But yeah, so top to bottom, the night went off without even a hiccup. And, you know, so at the end, obviously, the main event was billed as Cody Rhodes versus Joey Janela. And nobody really knew what to expect out of this. Were we going to get a wrestling match? Were we going to get a hardcore match? I don't really know. Nobody was really expecting anything, to be honest. But talking to Casey Cattell in the beginning of the day, she talked to Cody, and he didn't even know what to expect. You know what I mean? So it's very authentic of what they put together. And I'll say it right now, I've been calling matches. I called matches a couple years ago, but like full-time calling matches for about 7 months now. So I've seen a decent, is it 7 months? 9 months. So like I've seen a fair share of really great matches. But this one takes the cake. It really does. Like between, and I'm not the biggest hardcore fan. I just think that when the spot is good, it's great. And they had some seriously huge spots. I mean, Joey jumping into the crowd, Joey hitting himself on a ladder, Joey just got fucked up. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, the tacks were involved and Cody gets slammed on the tacks, and it's just, these are the spots that they chose, and it worked, and it worked so good, and Joey is kicking his own ass, and I hear people just like, you know, you still suck, Chance, and fuck you, Joey, or F you, Janela, and I'm like, whew, all right, this guy's got heat, that's great. But what really bothered me, and I'm not going to sideswipe the end of the night, but what really bothered me is seeing on social media that, you know, a guy like myself who hasn't had the greatest past with Joey, like we've obviously it's well documented that me and him didn't always get along, and we've gone to blows before. We've actually fought each other. Like these things have happened, and since then times changed. Like I'm not as big of a loudmouth asshole anymore. Joey's changed as well. But there's always those people out there on the interwebs that want to just talk shit for whatever reason. And I think it's very upsetting because when you do put your body on the line in a professional wrestling match, as brutal as that one was, I truly think that there's no room for any disrespect. Like, you need to throw your fucking respect at him full speed. You know, it's like, it's not fair. You know, everybody's going to love Cody. And then that goes without saying. Cody's amazing. But like Joey Janela, even I hated him at one point, and I had a look at that match, and I was like, holy shit. And then I seen him after the show, and he's beat to hell, and I'm just like, wow, man, you did that for them. And then talk about the fans. Like, you did all that for them for $20. And I'm like, holy shit, you know? I always used to be the kind of guy where I'm like, shit, he's going to kill himself by 30. You know, like, what an idiot. You know, bump card this, bump card that. But I'm just saying, like, you gave it all for that crowd, and they have the nerve to come back and say, you know, F him still, or he's still an asshole, or whatever. Be that as it may, if he's a prick, he's a prick. But boy, did he really give you your money's worth, and you really got to tip your hat to Joey Janela. And we really hope, and I know for a fact, he will be back sooner than you think. So stay tuned for that one. But at the end of the show, this is where it all breaks down and it catches all this steam. So the end of the show, Cody, I get the text from Pat in my pocket, and I look at it and it says, after the night, let's do some in-ring photos. And I said, all right, you know, we've been doing that for the last couple of months. It's a nice little moneymaker, you know, and it's also good for this occasion because a lot of people showed up late because of a lot of traffic getting into the place. And, you know, just a lot of, there was like a Hog Wild show or some shit out front, and there was shitty stuff in New York. And like, so a lot of people didn't get to get to the meet and greet in the beginning. So even Cody said, you know what? Yeah, man, let's do that. Let's do that. So first I'm like, hey, let's do it at the top of the ramp because there's fucking thumbtacks in the ring all over the place. And he was like, no, no, it's cool. It's cool. And I'm like, what? So I look behind me and Pat is standing right in the doorway. So all I see, and I can't, there's a lot of light. When the lights are brought down and all you see, I see his silhouette. That's all I see. Like, it just, I see the color of his shirt, so I know it's him, but he's just standing there. And I'm just like, all right, fuck it. So I call out for a couple guys to come clean the ring. So they do that. But there's still tacks on the ring. So now, you know, Cody starts to announce, hey, I'm going to start doing photos for anybody who missed the signing. 20, and I don't know, I was like, $20. I told him, I was like, here's the price, blah, blah, blah. And this fan out of nowhere, and the story's online, all over the social medias, all over everything, and I'll get to that in a second. But like, the story's online where this fan out of nowhere says, Can you body slam me onto the tacks? And I'm thinking like, yeah, just another drunk fan, some idiot, you know. I'm like, fuck, no chance, like, nah, no dice. And Cody gets on the mic and he's like, you know what, I will do that, but for every person that comes up and takes a picture, we're gonna donate that, and then I'll double it. And what's a good charity? And everybody was yelling out St. Jude's for the Children's Hospital. And he's like, all right, let's do that. And I'm like, wait, what's happening here? Like, right before my eyes, and you could see the videos, it's leaked. You could see my face, and there's a lot of concern on my face because I'm sitting right there at ringside, like I'm my hands on the bottom rope, ready to come in and just maintain some kind of order to the show or to the end of the show. And he's like, all right, yep, bring that guy. And a security guard comes over to me. He's like, so are we bringing him? And I look at Pat, and Pat's just smiling. He's just smiling. I can see his fucking white teeth smile. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to happen. And so I escort the fan in, and he goes in the ring, and Cody gives him the whole like verbal contract. Like, you're not going to sue WrestlePro, right? In case you lose some brain cells. And the guy's like, nope, no lawsuit. So there it is, and there it happens. And he slams this guy right onto the tacks. He no-sells the shit out of it, which really bugged a lot of people. He gets right up, but then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, there is a couple tacks in his shirt. And then I look up, and there's a tack in his head. And I'm like, ugh. And even Cody was like, oh, no, like, there's a tack in your head, bro. Like, it was just a mess, but the crowd went ape shit. We raised $700-something dollars. Like, it was incredible. It was incredible, and it was probably the craziest thing I've ever seen and witnessed at a pro wrestling show. Just today, as I'm recording this Tuesday, a lot of articles are surfacing, and I'm talking big articles. Sports Illustrated, SB Nation, which SB Nation is huge online, and UpRocks is like more of like your modern day culture and sports and just entertainment. Those three outlets picked this story up. Three different writers wrote three different stories. It's everywhere. I'm sharing it, blah, blah, blah. Like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm in this video. I'm in this video, guys. Like, so now me, I'm like, oh my God, I'm on this video. I'm going to be, Mom, I made it. I'm on Sports Illustrated. You know, I might not be the swimsuit issue, but I'm in it. But I was like, holy shit, like, this is happening. And UpRocks just followed me on Twitter. So, like, me, not just WrestlePro, me. So you never know what's going to happen. And it's crazy because the things we do for charity are literally insane. And I just, we've all gone viral. The kid's name is William. He's gone viral. Supposedly he's a barber. He's a good friend of Jeff and Brian of the High Spot podcast. So it wasn't a plant. There was no fan plant. This was not planned. I promise you, I swear on everything holy, this was not planned. The kid just felt it in the moment, asked a question, Cody agreed. And I'm like, the whole time I'm just sitting there with my hand over my eyes, like, please don't do it. Just please don't do it. But they did it. And it went off with a bang. Bang, bang. Just like Cactus. But it was awesome. And it's something I'll remember for the rest of my life. It is something that William will definitely 1,000% remember for the rest of his life. But yeah, so that's how it went down. And And Saturday night at WrestlePro was incredible, and now we're picking up a lot of steam, and it's the perfect amount of steam heading into June 10th in Keyport. Get your tickets right now, WrestleProOnline.com. Come through me, come through the website. Whoever you need to do, contact us. We'll get you involved. You really, truly never know what can happen at a professional wrestling show, let alone a WrestlePro show. Back after this.
What do you say? It's your boy Gino Guts, back with another edition of Kicked in the Head, right here on the Destruction 101 podcast, and I'm annoyed. I know, you're surprised, I'm surprised, we're all annoyed. I'm annoyed. Today, you know, these kids, they're nuts. This whole generation, I'm sorry, not the whole generation, most of you little fuckers are out of your damn minds. Case in point, one young teen I work with, getting ready for the apocalypse. Decided he didn't want to go to college. Doesn't even really go to work. Once or twice a week for 4 hours a pop, and he's tired. Freaking kid, he grows his hair out, and he loses his mind. Listens to the, what are those people called? The Freemasons? They'll put all these stuff in his head, drinking distilled rainwater that comes out of the tap of the roof. Kid's insane. What's his solution? For when the apocalypse comes? For when the zombie nation invades? Kid's moving to South Dakota in an RV to just buy an arsenal of weapons so that he's ready when they come. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to stand next to a fat kid and hope I outrun him. Speaking of people that annoy me, this past Saturday in Rowley, New Jersey, 5 people of that I hate the most in this world walked away with gold. The Beach Bums. Congratulations to the hardworking Beach Bums. Those assholes beat Team Españicos Petiscos for the Trios gold. You guys didn't even have one title defense victory. Great job, D, you douche. And CPA and Habib. Nothing shocked me more at the end of that match than those two boys that came back in town walked away with the tag titles. Now, I don't know what town you boys are back in, but if you're coming to my neighborhood, you're not leaving with gold, your money, your women. They don't have any women. You're not leaving walking. Alright? Enjoy it while it lasts, because it's not gonna. Taboo Crew's coming for you. And Beach Bums? You enjoy that while it lasts, because, you know, maybe with Vanity will step back. And we'll take those Trios titles, too. Oh, not for nothing. I do have a victory in that Trios tournament over, what's his name? Maxwell Jacob Freeman. Whooped his ass, and Bums, I'll whoop yours too. This has been a nice, long, friendly edition of Kicked in the Head with Gino Guts. Remember, folks, you're only good as your last envelope, so keep that hustle going, baby.
Thank you, Gino Guts. And for the first time ever, I have no idea what the hell you were just talking about. What kids? Sick kids? I don't know. Crazy kids. Lazy kids? I get that point. I definitely get that. Too many of those out there. Welcome back. And thanks for that, Gino Guts. Always tune in for Gino Guts Kicked in the Head every week on Destruction 101. So, welcome back. All right, what do we got? Okay, so we were going to do a segment. I was going to do a segment of what doesn't belong on the internet, but it kind of ties into some of the questions I was asked. So I'm going to go right into questions that you guys had asked me First and foremost, let's see here, Raymond Sanchez. I'm going to start with you. Because, you know, you're a loyal listener and, you know, why not? So anyway, he goes, question of the week from me. Oh, so now it's question of the week. He's got his own segment. Raymond Sanchez's question of the week. Dave, what has wrestling given you? It has given me a whole new life. When I started, I've been a professional wrestling fan since I was six. I've said this time and time again, the first thing I've ever seen, the first interaction with professional wrestling I've ever had was the barbershop segment where Shawn Michaels turned on Jannetty. From there, I was hooked. I would literally like do chores around the house, bargaining with my parents to make me let me stay up for Raw. When Raw started off, you know, it was 2 hours and it was over at 11, and you know, it was that's late for a 10-11 year old kid. Whatchamacallit. So yeah, started watching wrestling a long time ago, but at the same time, when I started to pursue it, and for those of you who don't know why I started to pursue it, obviously I've always had the, I mean, everybody has the dream. You know, everybody has the, I want to be a pro wrestler when I grow up. I did have that. It wasn't the, like, it wasn't at the forefront of all my goals in life, but after my best friend passed away in 2007, we had a dream, like, a couple years before that, we promised each other, we start in the backyard, like, yeah, I knock it now, because I think some of the people in the backyard need to just stop. But we started in the backyard on his trampoline. We wanted to become professional wrestlers. We promised each other we weren't going to do it without each other. You know, we want to live our dream together. So if, like, he fell off the dream, I wasn't allowed to. Or if I fell off the dream, he wasn't allowed to. It was like a common bond, and it was a common, like, agreement, like a handshake. He passed away in 2007 in his sleep. And my world kind of got shocked and thrown for a loop. It took me 5 years to get my body right, to get my mind right, and it took, it was kind of, Super Bowl, hold on, move from Los Angeles, shit, I missed that, I think the NFL just moved the Super Bowl in 2021, in case anybody gives a shit, but anyway, yeah, so, what was I saying, okay, so he passed away in 2007, and for 5 years, I got my body right. I was at my all-time worst in, like, 2009. So I was, like, really heavy and just out of shape. And I needed to do something. I needed an end game. So pro wrestling, in a sense, gave me my will to be better as a physically better. What did this get? What has it given to me in 5 years now? I'm going to be 5 years in June. It's given me just a whole new sense of meaning. Like, I never felt like I was important before in my life. And I think it's part of my personality that I've always wanted to be important. I did win most dramatic in fifth grade, and I'll put that in my book. But, like, you know, I always wanted to be the center of attention. And for a little while, I really was. You know, when I first came up, it was like, you know, 3 or 4 months of training with a couple guys who you might know as Craven Varro, Damian Gibbs, shit, who else is left? I mean, I think they're all gone. But then, like, Chris Payne and Bobby Wayward, guys like those came on, you know, and when I was just starting off. And for that one moment after, you know, it was September of 2012, I won a battle royal with all my fellow students, a couple mixed in legends and shit like that. But I won, and I fell on top of the world for, like, that minute. And since then, it's given me a lot of heartache. Don't get me wrong. Pro wrestling is not, it's not for the weak, you know, like, you have to have a thick skin. Clearly, I did not at points. I shot off at the mouth when I had no business doing so, and it got me a lot of trouble. But I thought it was great. I mean, everything it's given to me since, it's given me a lot of headaches, literally. Yeah, a couple concussions. I've had to stop and step away from the ring. But I think it's not even close to being remotely done giving me the fruits of this business. And I think that there's a lot left to happen in my career, because now I'm in a whole different front, a whole different side of the business. I'm in the office now of WrestlePro. I'm commentating, I'm ring announcing. I call myself the Dave of all trades, and that's the truth. I'm trying to do, maybe I'm trying to do too much, but at the same time, sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough. So it's given me a lot. It's given me a whole new life. And that's pretty broad, but yeah, that's basically what it's given me. So I hope that answers your question. Mike Malario, I had tweeted you this, Pat and Ryback and you responded, of course. And I'm still stuck on this YouTube thing. Okay, so according to YouTube, they got rid of wrestling-related things. So here's he goes, is this going to have a huge impact on indie wrestling? You had suggested Facebook Live as an alternative, but as far as I know, you don't get an ad revenue from Facebook Live. That's not true. I'll get to you that in a second. Facebook Live will definitely drive ticket sales locally, but it seems limitless on terms of revenue stream, especially when you have talent that could appeal to a wider audience. Okay, so they're trying to do away with the wrestling on YouTube. And Facebook Live, believe it or not, and you'll find this out on Thursday night. If you're listening to Sound of My Voice, Thursday night at 8 o'clock, I understand Impact's on, and everybody wants to watch Kevin and stuff. So do that too. DVR that shit. 8 o'clock, Facebook Live on the WrestlePro Facebook page. We're going to stream the entire show for free from this past Saturday. What that does, and I've read about this, and I've been in talks with Facebook about this. If you drive enough audience to your product, they will give you credit. They will give you certain Facebook credits where you can use it to promote your other things so more people see your brand. I don't know if there's a cash thing. I have not gotten that deep yet. We're going to find out come Thursday. We're going to see how many people can actually watch this thing. And, you know, just as a spoiler, September of this year, get ready. Because it's going to be, if you want to quote our WrestleMania, it's going to be that. And we're making sure we're working out all the kinks right now between getting our product out there. And I believe Facebook Live is the future of live stream and live broadcasting because it's free. You know, like you don't have people saying, okay, spend this much and you'll have this much time. Like you get to do it as much as you want. What we're going to start doing is in WrestlePro is that on weekly Monday or Wednesday nights, we're going to do a getting to know you section where I'm going to be interviewing one of the stars of WrestlePro on Facebook Live. So it's like there's a lot of things that Facebook Live can do. And now that Facebook Live and Facebook and Zuckerberg and all those guys, they're going to realize that there's a huge, huge following for professional wrestling. And they're going to see that this is a good, you know, it's a good get, you know, especially if YouTube. I don't know if the YouTube thing is going to happen. I think if you just don't put wrestling in the description, you know, you can get away with some shit. But do you really want to go through all that nonsense? I don't know. I guess it all depends on, you know, which promoter wants to do what. But to me, there's nothing more, you know, there's nothing better than being at a live show. So stay off the fucking internet. I don't know. But hopefully that answers your question. There's a lot more in detail that we can get into, but I'd be talking your ear off. Kathy Hummer, your favorite moment from Saturday night. Well, that's easy. When Moff almost killed you. No, there was a point where Moff took a chair shot, and he sold it so good that he like kind of leaned into the crowd. He grabs Kathy's hat, which is like a Shining Wizards Eddie hat, which is kind of weird. But yeah, so that was fun. But obviously, I want to say, like, the main event obviously was superb, and the events that happened aftermath was just amazing. But my favorite moment was to see CPA and Habib win the tag titles, just because I'm so proud of those guys, especially CPA. That kid, you talk about a guy that just eats a lot of shit, and it's very hard for him to expand with this character that is really blown up, you know, with us. And it's really hard that not everybody's going to get it. So that's where it's hard for him to find bookings. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he's making his rounds. He's been pretty much more places than I can name. But it was just one of those, it's like a culmination of everything that just kind of really worked out for the kid. And I'm just really excited for him. And yeah, I mean, he's a five-tool player. So, all right, I hope that answered that. Jeremy Thompson, now this is a long one. What's your opinion on people becoming Suedo celebrity? Oh, over marketing and being an extreme or at least seemingly hateful personality. Example, Cash Me Outside, how about that, girl? Or actual celebrities doing batshit crazy insane things to stay relevant. Bear in mind, that doesn't discount those who actually feel the pressure of being such a big name cracking under the spotlight and actually losing it as a cry for help. All right, basically what I'm thinking is that he's saying, like, all right, what do I think of the Cash Me Outside girl? She did something stupid, she acted outlandish, and now she's, like, fucking appearing at nightclubs for a price. I'm in a world of professional wrestling. A fan just got dumped on his back and head on thumbtacks. Nobody's ever going to forget that guy. You know, so it's almost like it's catch 22. Like, yeah, sometimes you're known as something like, wow, I can't believe that happened. And then, ugh, I can't believe that piece of shit, like that girl, is now just this celebrity. Like, same thing goes for like the Jersey Shore people. I think that was the worst show ever created, but it was a car wreck, so you had to watch at all times. All of those people on that show were just pieces of shit that they casted, and they figured they'd be good for like character-wise. Now look at those guys. I think the only successful one right now is JWoww, I think. And maybe Snooki, I don't know. But do you ever hear of Ronnie anymore? Do you ever hear of even the DJ? Which one was that? Paulie D? Nobody hears of him anymore. At least I don't. But like, I guess what I'm saying is, when celebrities do it as a desperate cry for help, like Tom Cruise or you know, just something outlandish like a bad racial remark or saying something stupid, yes, I believe it's just to stay relevant and it's silly, but it worked. And it worked in their favor to some, and it worked like you're a piece of shit to others. So I hope that answers it. I mean, I guess there are people that really do lose it under the spotlight, like Heath Ledger or something tragic like that where somebody just offs themselves or whatever because of everything that's happening. But again, sometimes I feel bad. Sometimes I think it's a joke. I guess it all depends on the situation. Alternative, if the previous one is too cringy, Hawaiian pizza, yay or nay? I am a nay guy on that. Do not put fruit on my fucking pizza. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Yeah, so that's that. But so there are the questions for this afternoon's edition. Memorial Day is coming up. My PSA to all you avid drinkers like myself, don't drink and drive, please. I'll be the first to admit that will fuck up your life. And not that I got a DUI, almost, very, very close. If it wasn't for a technicality, your boy would be in a lot more trouble than he is right now. And that, you know, that wasn't too far ago. So don't drink and drive. What am I doing? Friday night, I've got to go see Baywatch. I've been waiting for this movie to come out. I think it's going to be phenomenal. The Rock is just one of those gifted guys that just make you laugh. What's the other one? Zac Efron? Is that his name? He's just a fucking stud. The guy, like, those guys are going to make magic happen. I just know it. Saturday, I think I might go out on the boat, go a little fishing. Sunday, I might go to a party. Considering the weather, I don't know. It's supposed to be kind of shitty on Sunday. I'm not sure. Try to sneak in some family time, you know, the whole nine. But one last thing before I wrap all this up and do my final plugs and shit like that. I want to apologize for last episode. There was a segment where I went off the deep end about a friend being a dog and just being a piece of shit. And I was upset. And long story short, I had it wrong. I had it wrong. And I kind of knew I had it wrong. And I didn't want to believe myself when I had it wrong. Somebody might be listening to this for the first time and saying, what the fuck is he talking about? I thought somebody was just being a piece of shit, and they weren't. And, you know, I since had apologized to my friend, and then, because it wasn't just on my podcast, I was raging for a little while. But I think what it breaks down to is that people just need to be better people, and I'm talking about the other people who play parts in these things. And, you know, keep your closest friends closer, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't know. You don't have to have a million friends. I used to be that kind of guy where I was like, I need as many friends as humanly possible. And now, no bullshit, I probably have like 10 true blue best friends that I can name. You know what I mean? Like, that are just like right there, always got your back, just good fucking like well-rounded people. And they've been with me since day one. One of them in wrestling, or two of them, I guess, technically in wrestling, like a couple of my high school buddies and my family. You know, I think if you want to come back or come into somebody's life, or you want to come back into somebody's life, I think it's only fair that you give a fair shake and not just walk away when times get tough. And that's speaking from the heart. It's speaking from personal experience, because some people that have motivated me recently have gone away. So, and it was to no reason or fault of mine. It's just that when people don't get everything they set out to get, and it gets too hard or it gets too difficult, they go away. And I think that's, I think in life, like I said, not Tony Robbins by any stretch, but if you're going to take anything away from this podcast, besides the incredible stories I told, just be a better person every day. Remember that life is short. Keep your best friends as close to the chest as possible. You don't always have to express yourself on social media as far as your personal life, because I don't think it's necessary. And I think there's too many weird, creepy people out there. So if anybody's listening to this and they're wondering, well, you know, he doesn't talk about that, or he doesn't talk about, there's a fucking reason for that. There's a reason for that. This Dave Destruction thing, like this Dave Sturcio on the outside with all this broadcasting, it's a whole nother ball game, man. My personal life is my personal life. I like to do a lot of things in my personal life that I don't need to share. Do I share a lot of stuff? Yeah, I do. And I'll probably share a lot more in my book. But like at the same time, you don't have to share everything. You don't have to express everything. You don't have to be this soppy, you know, puppy dog love. It gets nauseating. And people don't want to always read that because some people aren't in the same situation. So why rub it in? So that's really what I got. But anyway, you could follow me on Twitter, which I'm trying to grow more than anything now, at Dave Sturch, DaveSturch. If you have Twitter, follow me there. Instagram at Dave Destruction, DaveDSTRUCTION. So Destruction without the E. Snapchat, same thing, Dave Destruction 2. What else? Facebook.com/Destruction101. Facebook.com/Dave Destruction. Follow me on all my social medias. The shows that are coming up are going to be fantastic. Go follow BBWF. They're going to launch their new show June 2nd. Keyport, New Jersey will be the site for the next WrestlePro show on June 10th. And there's a lot of shit coming up in July where we have our Freedom Festival featuring the debut of Casey Cattell. I'll put that out there because she's a firecracker and she deserves it. And that's another thing I would love to touch on. But again, it's one of those things where I just like, I'm just going to leave it alone. But people need to stop being so fucking jealous. Like, let this girl succeed. Let anybody succeed. There's no reason, no rhyme or reason, anybody should be bashing anybody else's success and hard work. This girl's working hard. She's doing favors for everybody. And it's not like, oh, those kind of favors. Like, no, it's not. She's hardworking. She's at the fucking gym. She's at training school, doing the right thing, doing favors for Pat, picking up Cody Rhodes. Like, these are the things that people do. And to earn themselves a spot or at least a chance. This girl earned her chance. I posted a picture of me and her last week's show. She's beautiful. She's a good chick. Go follow her on all her social medias. Let her shit blow up. She said that I tagged her in that picture, and all of a sudden the creeps just came out. So sorry about that, Casey. But anyway, with that being said, I'm getting Jay Silva's talking to me right now. Hold on one second. Let's see if this is any good.
Dave, bro. So, Dave, what happened with the – I understand what happened. So then Cody slams the guy but says, I'll do it, but only if Pat gives all the money to charity that he made on the meet and greet. What's the whole story? And that dude, the guy should have sold the tax. He should have said sell a little bit. He pops right up, but it doesn't matter. Kayfabe is dead.
I'm sure he'll get a kick out of that. I'll answer him right after I end this podcast, so I'll have to explain all the whole Cody thing all over again to Mr. Jay Silva. Follow me on all my social medias, WrestlePROOnline.com. Get involved, everybody, and I'll see you guys all next week.
Return of the man. the show. Cause what they did, they know was wrong. And all the nasty things you've done. So baby, listen carefully while I sing my comeback song. You lied to me. She said she'd never turn on me. You lied to me. But you did, but you did. You lied to me. All this pain you said I'd never feel.
Your big break.
You lied to me. She said she'd never turn on me.